Welcome to Victory Family Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. For sermon notes and videos relating to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
The second week of the series, Because of You, you'll see people this weekend with this shirt, the Dream Team shirts. All that means is this: people who have recognized their place in the body of Christ, they've come out of the stands, and they've gotten onto the field, and they're serving, and they're taking their part in the kingdom of God. And every person that serves in this church is a part of the Dream Team. And this will make a little bit more sense as we go forward. But I want to talk to you just briefly to let you know, because of what you do, because of you, because of people who have gotten out of the stands, as it were, and are making a difference in the lives of others, because of you, a lot of things have happened in the history of this church. I mean, since the inception of this church 20 years ago almost, we've seen well over 15,000 people come to Christ. I mean, that's an amazing thing. You think of those numbers, and it's just, you can get lost in those numbers. But every one of those numbers is somebody that will be with Christ forever, changing the population of heaven for an eternity. Our 19-year history, guys, we have seen multiple, I wish I had a number for this, but heaven knows, divorces canceled. Guys, do you know what it means when a divorce gets canceled? Do you know the pain that is not experienced by two people? Do you know the pain that children will never know? The impact of future generations? The whole trajectory of a family changed. Heartaches that kids will never know. Because of you, because of becoming a part of God's Dream Team, and by the grace of God, divorce is canceled. Thinking of Ken and Marie Watts, who have moved away. They've retired and gone back to the New England states where they're from, where they started their lives together. Ken and Marie, when they came, Marie was coming, and their marriage, if you'll listen to them, it wasn't on the rocks, it was under the rocks. And Ken came here, got a hold of God. They didn't just get their marriage put back together where they could survive each other. Telling you, man, they fell in love again. They had a marriage that was enviable. In fact, Steve and I, we tell Ken, look, you got to stop this. You're making us all look bad. They'd walk through this building with holding hands. They had a new lease on life. Jesus doesn't just come to get you by. He comes to put you over in life. And because of you, people like Ken and Marie, and by the way, they knew that they wouldn't spend the rest of their years here, but they have invested, that couple, God put their life back together. And I want you to know they put tens of thousands of dollars in that new building, knowing they'd never sit in it, other than when they come back to visit. People like them who want to make a difference with their life. People like you who made a difference in their life, becoming a part of that Dream Team because of you. Because of you, children's ministry goes on all over this building. For little ones all the way through elementary. Because of you, amazing student ministries happening. Because of you, every Saturday night, 20-somethings are filling this room. Because of you, we are going to be able to convert this room to a youth center with mezzanines and the $220,000 needed you gave. And it's sitting there ready to go to renovate this room. Because of you, you're making an enormous difference. And guys, let me say this. And because of you, something's going to happen in this church. Then let me tell you, 20 years ago almost, when this church started, October 17, 1993, Michelle and I and Ryan, who at the time was about 9 months old, with 33 people, including us, showed up that first Sunday morning. And I remember telling people what you're sitting in today, telling them about that facility, telling them that Michelle and I intended to give our life to this community in this region. Someday they would bury us on a hill somewhere around here, but we were going to give our life for this. And what I was saying to them, it's kind of funny looking back, as I remember saying it, and in that little cinema that we were meeting, it's now called Cranberry Cinemas, we had the littlest one, and the 33 people were swallowed up by all the seats. I remember the words, hitting the back wall like a beach ball and coming back and hitting me in the face, as people just looked at me like, are you out of your mind? Half the people were there thinking, we're not even coming back, you know? And yet, 20 years later, it's come to pass. And what I'm telling you about, what I'll tell you right now, is as real to me as that was then. One of the reasons I don't go out into the building a lot and look at it is because I've seen it for 20 years in here. And let me tell you what's going to happen. And this isn't something that I'm hoping. I'm telling you this will come to pass with the same clarity and vision that I knew that this would happen when we started this church with just three people. Is this. In the next 5 to 10 years, you are going to see a world-shaking move of God erupt out of Cranberry Township. And it's not just going to bless this church. It's going to lift the lid of expectation for other churches. This past week, We just held a conference where we had pastors and their leaders in their church come in. Over 200 of them came here as we began to lift the lid for them as well. Here's the simple vision. I'll make it simple. I'm tired of hearing what God is doing in southern cities where it's warm and we live in the Sun Belt and in the Midwest and in Texas. I don't live in those places. I don't live in the Sun Belt. We live in the Rust Belt. We live in a city where it starts with the word pit. All right? I mean, look, it's a beautiful city, but weather-wise, we just ain't shaking it, all right? Because I'm telling you this, that weather doesn't change. I'm shooting that groundhog. I'm going groundhog hunting. I'm shooting me some groundhog. That rascal said it was going to end. It better end.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
I'm taking that groundhog out. Guys, we are seeing the lid lifted for churches. And I'm telling you, watch it come to pass. And we are going to see thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people come to Christ. And this is going to be something that's going to change generations. And it will come to pass. And we get to be a part of it. Because of you, these things are happening. You know, just let me break it down to just a person in our church. Ben Rings is a teacher at Pine Richland School District. He's also a wrestling coach. He's a former sergeant in the military. He grew up in the home, and his father taught special education in the schools. And he said he remembers, and now he teaches that as well, and serves children with special needs. And he said, and he's in People Magazine, did an article on him. And so I think there's the picture of him in People Magazine. I think it's just this past issue just that just came out. And they so recognized what he did there is that he grew up watching kids with special needs and so-called mainstream kids. When the kids with the special needs would walk down the hall, they would kind of part. And there was no integration of the kids. And it just broke his heart as a kid watching that happen. And so, as a wrestling coach, he's created a way to get kids with special needs and, quote, mainstream kids together. I hate those terms, but those are the terms that are used. And now he's brought them together on the wrestling team together, and these kids have integrated together. They have each other's back. They love each other. They serve each other. They're connected in their peer groups. And it's made such a difference. They did an article about it in People Magazine. He's one of the people up for Teacher of the Year across the country. And let me tell you, no, he can't preach in the school district. And honestly, there's boundaries there. We understand that. But I'll tell you this, he's living a Christian life and serving in such a way that light is shining so much so that it's been nationally recognized. So it's not just about what you do here. It's about serving, being a part of God's dream team in everyday life. It really matters. The fact of it is this, and this is something that sometimes people will struggle with, but it's a biblical fact. God needs you. God has chosen, I mean the omnipotent God, the maker of heaven and earth, sea, all that in them is, has chosen to make himself dependent upon you. It's an amazing thought, but it's in the Bible. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 21. The scripture says this, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Question, where is the eye? In what part of the body? Head. And it's not a trick question. We're not going to do anatomy lessons, but how many of you know there are no eyeballs in your hands? If your eyeball shows up in your hand, that's a bad day, okay? And he said this, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Now, who's the head of the church? Jesus is. Who's the body? We are. The head, Jesus, cannot say to the feet, the church, I don't need you. So let's invert that. So what does it mean? He's saying to you, I need you. God has chosen to make himself dependent on your willingness to get out of the stands and get busy in the kingdom of God. Listen to what verse 27 said. Now here's what I'm trying to say. All of you together are the one body of Christ, and each one of you is a separate, and you are a necessary part of it. See, a lot of times people say, well, I want to volunteer. No, you don't volunteer in the body of Christ. Can you imagine if my elbows got up this morning thinking they could volunteer? That means it's optional. If my elbows volunteered today and decided not to come, I couldn't speak. I'm Italian. My hands would be stuck. And only when my hands move can my mouth move. I'm Italian. I can't help it. And a lot of times people think, well, I just need to do some volunteer. Don't forget that volunteer stuff. That's United Way. You're in the body of Christ. If your heart decided I'm volunteering, that means it's optional. Get out of the stands and get busy in the kingdom of God. And it doesn't have to be in all these traditional things. And there's so many ways you can be used of God. So many ways. I want you to just take a really quick look at a Because of You story. Because of the dream team of people in this church, someone that made a great difference in someone's life, and what appears to be just such a minor action, but made an enormous reaction in someone's life. Take a look at this.
Dear sir, I've wanted to write this letter for a few weeks now. I just want to give you a little background so you can understand my need to write to you. I was saved as a child and have tried to serve God my entire life. I'm now 33 and have experienced divorce and complete brokenness. I started church again before my divorce where I was embraced. Yet due to bad decision making and impurity, I was kicked out of my church. I lost every friend in the one place I felt loved and safe. I was pregnant and had two daughters when I showed up at the doors of Victory. I felt unworthy and ashamed, feeling I was wearing the scarlet letter. I knew I needed God, but I didn't know how to seek Him while living in sin. Here's where you come in. You were there. Each week you joked with me and my boyfriend. You didn't treat me like I was unclean. You smiled, you shook our hand, and you greeted us. You have no idea how much you impacted my life. I laid in bed and thought of how you accepted us, even though you didn't know us. How each time you joked and said hi, my heart felt more accepted. I continued to seek God, even though I was sinning. But now, due to God's love, acceptance, and grace, I'm no longer living in sin. I now have three beautiful daughters, and we're all serving God. I just want to say thank you for simply greeting us. Nikki. Frank, because of you, I felt accepted.
Many of you remember Frank, and he passed away last month. His whole life he spent serving God. And his health began to fail as he got older. He found a place he could still serve in this church, and he greeted people. At the end of his life, he did it with an oxygen tank. But I'm sure Frank had no idea that every week when he would pour his heart out to people, that he would make a difference in someone's life like Nikki. Because the fact of it is, people make a decision about whether they're coming back to a church before they ever hear a pastor speak, or virtually before they get into this room. And so Frank made a decision, and he served God in other capacities his whole life. But he stood at the door, and he greeted people. And he didn't just stand there, and he put his heart in it. And the grace on his life, I don't know if Frank sensed something about her. And actually, she wrote the letter, and I'm not sure how it got to Frank. It was just, dear sir, she didn't even know who he was. And yet there was something on that grace in his life. When he began to yield to that grace, that the head of the church touched her life through him. Think of the difference in her three kids. Think of the difference in Nikki's life because of a man who chose to yield to God. It makes a difference. And there is no small thing. It happens all the time. Sometimes you can notice it. Sometimes I don't know that maybe Frank felt a special affinity to pour his life into this young woman as she came in. Maybe and her boyfriend, maybe he felt this. I don't know. But just being where he was, he made a difference in her life. When you get involved in the things of God, when you get on the team, when you get in the dream team, when you recognize and identify and discover your part in the body of Christ, lives change. It makes all the difference in the world. And I want to encourage you to get out of the stands. And the last two services I did this, I'm going to do it again here. One of the ways you can get out of the stands and kind of kick the tires and decide and feel this, I want you to feel what it's like. Don't wait and say, well, I need to get some stuff together in my life. Come on. When are you going to, you're never going to get your life completely together as long as you live in a body. You're still going to be human. So I haven't felt led to get involved yet. Here's what you do. Go find a piece of lead, rub it, and now say, I felt led. Okay? Don't spiritualize this stuff. People need you when they need you. I'll tell you, we have our annual extravaganza coming up. It's the egg hunt where we do 100,000 eggs and 5,000 to 7,000 people in the community show up. Last Easter weekend, this church, we saw 1,000 people come to Christ, over 1,000, just in that Easter weekend in the services and the extravaganza, the entire event. We need about 300 or 400 people to pull that off where we really make a difference serving our community. It's an entrance to the kingdom of God for many people. Many people in this church now found victory through the extravaganza. It is a regional event. People come from all over the place to this. And so I'm asking people to get involved and to serve on Friday or Saturday or Friday and Saturday. I'm not asking you to think about it and spend 20 years like you're planning a vacation. I'm asking you to get out of the stands, get involved. For many of you who are already a part of Victory, I'm encouraging you to do it. But for many of you that have never felt what it's like to be a part of a church-wide event, I'm telling you, the energy you feel, it's incredible. And you don't want to live your life without letting the grace that's in your life begin to flow. And so I want to encourage people here, if you've not yet signed up for this and you say, you know what, I'm going to be able to come either Friday or Saturday or both. Pastor John, I'm going to sign up. Would you do this for me? And I've asked the other two services, and many, many people responded. Would you just simply stand right now and we can thank you? If you're going to get involved in that and serve on that, stand right now. Do it right now if you're willing to do that and serve and get involved. Now, thank those folks, would you? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. You all can be seated. If you stood up or you didn't and you should have. Now, if you didn't and should have.
Now I'm going to tell you like this. I expect you to be at the extravaganza. Well, then you're going to...
No, that's the Godfather, not Father God, okay? So listen, I'm asking you, though, just fill this out. If you didn't feel... You know, I'm not a stand-up person. Well, just be a sign-up person. Fill out this, drop it to anybody with a badge, any of the information centers. Someone will be in contact with you, give you all the details. And we're going to have a blast that weekend serving our community. And I'm telling you, once you start to taste what it means to be involved in something corporately in the kingdom of God, it makes a massive, massive difference in everyone's life. Now, also let me say this as we kind of transition to another part of this message. There is a reward for serving in the kingdom of God. There is a benefit to you as an individual. There is a grace deposit that is upon your life that when you yield to it for the benefit of others. Remember, the Bible largely was not written to individuals. There are books of the Bible that were, but for the most part, the books of the Bible, in the New Testament particularly, were written to churches. Now, they have a personal application, of course. We spend much of our time in this room telling you how the Bible relates to you as an individual in everyday life. But if you don't take the other side of that equation, you'll live an imbalanced Christian life. Part of that is sure God wants to help you. He wants to cause you to walk with Him and all the good that comes with that. But right on the other side of that, there is a corporate purpose that the head of the church ordained for you to do as a part of the whole. And if you don't discover that place, you're going to live a half-Christian life. And I want to encourage you to know that when the grace that's upon you to bless others begins to course through your life, the life that is in Christ flows through your life, and the residual effect is that you get lifted yourself. As the Bible says it this way, in watering others, you water yourself. And so I want to encourage you. It's optional. I guess it's optional in the sense that we can choose to not yield to God, but don't make being a part of the body of Christ, which is so sacred, something optional in your life. In fact, God's word says there is a distinction that He makes between those serving and those not. Look at Malachi chapter 3, verse 17. God said these words. He said, "They will be mine, says the Lord Almighty, in the day when I make up my treasured possession. I will spare them just as in compassion a man spares his son who serves him." And you will see again the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, and between those who serve God and those who do not. Look, you can give your life to Jesus, yet never be a person that discovers your place and serves. God said, "Let me show you something." He goes, "Those are my treasured possessions. And let me tell you, there is a distinction that is between those who have yielded to me and those that have not." Okay, let's just make it this plain. If you in your marriage do not yield to God's plan for marriage, can I tell you this? There will be a distinction between your marriage and someone who does. What will be the distinction? The grace that God has upon marriage is when you do it God's way, you get you a slice of heaven on earth. The other way, you get the other. You can either have, listen, marriage is the closest thing to heaven or hell you'll ever know on earth. It really is. If you do it God's way and let the grace that comes by doing it God's way show up in your life, as different as you may be, you can have heaven on earth in your home, even in the midst of your differences. And that's what happens when people serve God. Now, in order to facilitate this, I've spent about 4 years. Michelle and I, we've talked through this and prayed through this and we've worked through this. And we've spent about 4 years doing what we're announcing to you right now. We are modifying the way we do our everything, from helping you from when you walk through the door to when you serve. We're trying to make it simple. And so we're establishing a growth track that makes it so, so, so simple. Now, it's simply this, a 101, 201, 301, and 401 class, and they're every Sunday night. 101 is the first Sunday night of the month, 201 is the second, 301, third, fourth. Now, guys, that's easy. Even a non-detailed person like me can remember that. Starts at 6 o'clock. And we feed you. and there is childcare. Guys, that is like a date. And the ladies went, you're out of your mind. That's not a date. But childcare and food. She didn't. Okay, anyway, I'm sorry. It just didn't go over real well. But anyway, here's Church 101. Michelle and I will teach it every first Sunday night of the month. And it's a kind of kick the tires event for people who don't know about Victory or are not yet a member here. Or maybe you are a member, but you want to know more. You come and we're going to tell you about the vision of the church, the mission of the church, what we are, what we aren't. And it's a place, literally that night, you can sign up and say, okay, this is where I belong. I want to become a member. And if you're not sure, it's a great place to kind of kick the tires. Find out, is this where I belong? We'll do that the first Sunday night of every month, predictably. In the event, they say, what if that was Easter Sunday? It would be canceled. The next week would be 201. And you don't have to go to these in order. And I would suggest, I would like everybody to go to these in the whole church. But you say, well, I'm a member already serving. Then at the very least, I'd like you to go to 301 and 401. 201 is the second Sunday night of every month, 6 o'clock. And that's where the essentials are going to be taught. How do you study your Bible? Just how do you have a prayer life? Just some of the real essentials that every Christian should know to help you understand the foundations. 301 is when you discover your gifts. We have assessments that we'll give you, and there's a process in place where you can discover who am I? What am I? What makes me go after things? What makes me pound the table or weep? What are the passions of my life? And you discover those things and how they'll fit into the context of serving. 401 is, of course, the fourth Sunday night of every month. And 401 is where it's an orientation to ministry. Every ministry will be here. Every dream team will be here and the representatives. So you'll meet together. We'll eat together. And then you'll break up and you can go to any of the many places and find every ministry that we do and be oriented. And for some of those ministries, you can be working the next weekend. Some of them that require a little longer landing strip because of childcare issues and background checks and that kind of thing that are required. But for the most part, we're going to get you your hands on the wheel as quickly as we can. It matters that every person do that. Now remember, sign up for 101. The first one is coming April 7th, Sunday night, 6 o'clock. And we're making it so simple to sign up. And you'll help us if you do it, to sign up, because it's going to be food and we want to make sure we have enough. You have to understand, I'm Italian and Michelle's Southern. We have one commitment in life. When we have people to our house, listen, when we have people at our house and Michelle cooks, when I tell you, if 30 people are coming, she cooks for 212. Am I exaggerating? No, I'm telling you. And so if we ever run out of food, I don't want to go home with her. We ran out of food that night, okay? So please don't put me in that position, because this woman wants to feed you. All right, she wants to make sure that you're taken care of and blessed when you come. We've made it so simple. All you have to do is, see this white, this little card in the seat pocket in front of you? All you have to do is text to 51555 the word growth, your name, the number of adults, and number of kids coming. Pretty simple, right? Don't put any dots or anything or any dashes. Just write the numbers and we'll get it. Now, you say, I'm not a texter. I'm not into the new technologies. Okay. Then you can write it on the back and turn it in to anybody with a badge or any information center. So I'm not into that either. You can go on the website and do it. You can go to the media and event center and do it. Guys, I mean, the only thing we've taken out is looking up, spitting in the sky and sign up. I mean, just let us know you're coming, okay? And it's April 7th. Make sure you sign up. It's going to be a great night together. Michelle and I are looking forward to being with people on that Sunday night as we gather together in not such a large group as a whole weekend crowd, but be able to come eat together and have a great time together as we share 101. So let me close, kind of wind down by telling you this. There is such a passion in mine and Michelle's heart with the day we started this church to see people not just come to know Jesus, but to grow spiritually, that we wanted to see men fill this church. Well, I mean, we love women in the church too, but how many of you know churches largely are empty of men? And that's wrong. And I would tell you, my wife, in the beginning, she was clear to me, baby, we cannot pastor a church that does not speak to men. It will not be a balanced church. And it resulted in much of what you see today. We long to see this church where people are living for God in everyday life. Where what you learn on a Sunday works on a Monday. that we're not telling you about obscure things in the Bible that really don't matter to how you live your everyday life. We wanted to see people grow spiritually. We wanted them to see connected to the body of Christ. And we wanted to see them fulfilling the purpose that Jesus made them. Every time we dedicate little children in this church, sometimes I'll grab their little feet. I'll say, Father, you created these feet. You knew this little one before they were. And you made her, made him for a distinct purpose. These feet were made to walk a path. Those are baby feet, but let me tell you, big feet, they were made to walk a path too. And there's four simple things you need to be aware of if you're going to be a vital part of the of really fulfilling the purpose of God in your life. And a vital part of the way this church has been ordained of God to help you. Number one, come to church on the weekend. And you say, well, that sounds pretty simple. Well, let me tell you, statistically, half of people only come twice a month. The majority of half of the church only shows up twice a month. That's not enough. It's not about filling seats. It's about filling hearts. Come, and now I understand you're going places, you have a holiday here, a weekend, wherever, a vacation. Honestly, that's no big deal. But I'm saying, look, make it a part of the values of your everyday life. Come to church on the weekends and use the weekends to evangelize people. Every service we do, we have people in mind who don't know Christ. And all you have to do is get them here and hold the values of reaching people for Christ. So number one, come to church, bring and do your best to invite people to come to the services. Easter weekend's a great, listen, you can almost get the devil to come to church on Easter. You know the C&E people, Christmas and Easter stuff. Look for people that you know don't know Christ, who are struggling or maybe away from God. Bring them on Easter. I'm telling you, it's going to be an incredible weekend. We're believing God to see 1,000 people come to Christ just that weekend. So you bring people. And remember, we've added to, on Saturday night, normal service is Sunday, 9:30, 11:15. Saturday night, instead of just our normal 6, we have a 5:30 and a 7:30 service to accommodate the crowds. And so you can bring people, and it's going to be a great time. We're going to see, literally, we're trusting to see over 1,000 people come to Christ. So really simple, come to the weekends, bring people with you. Number two, I want you to go through the growth track, 101 through 401. You don't even have to do it in order. Ideally, it'd be best if you did, but if you don't, I don't care. Just go to them. Third thing is become a part of a small group. Now, you say, well, what small groups? They're launching this fall. And I've spent a lot of years, and I was able to talk to even some folks after the 9 o'clock service. The kind of small groups we're doing are the things that meet the objectives in my heart. And I'll explain the nuances of that and why I've shied away from those in the past. And now that I've found a model that I know will work for the purpose of God for this church. And they're going to launch in the fall. And the small groups as well are where going to be many of you are going to find your place to lead as well. And we'll explain those. And so become a part of a small group that's going to launch in the fall. And then the final thing is this. Get out of the stands and get onto the field. Find the place. Discover your place. That's what 301 and 401 will help you do. Discover your place. And you say, well, Pastor John, what if I get involved somewhere and I don't feel like it's a fit? Then don't stay there. Go find another place. A lot of times people don't want to get involved in a church because they think, if I start over here, I'll never be able to leave. It's like the mafia. You can't get out. No one's going to guilt you into staying somewhere. They're going to be thrilled you showed up. But if it's not a fit for you, we want you to be where you fit, what works for you. You discover your place. I'm telling you, my things are so nuanced. I'm telling you, when we get to the small group application of this, you're going to find so many people finding their place as they lead small groups. And this is critically important. And guys, next weekend is a great weekend to bring people. We're going to share testimonies in a way that I'm telling you are going to be greatly impacting. And if people don't know Christ, it's going to be a great service for people to come to know Christ. All of that information, and forgive me, but that's a lot of information to give you. Aside from all those details, it comes down to one simple thing. God has a plan for your life. He's desperate, so desperate, he died. Not to deliver sermons, but to deliver people. Not to control you and to manipulate you into behaviors that takes your fun away, but to rescue you, to lift you to a place in life where you can honor him and obey him and live everyday life, real life. And like Ben Rings, who goes to his job and lives his life for God and makes the light that's in him shine in the context of where he lives. He doesn't go beating people's door down, preaching at them and obnoxiously putting people down. He lives it. He's human like the rest of us. And right now he's serving in one of the classes. was here at 9:30 in the service, and he's serving. And one of the rooms that he serves in is our Endless Possibilities room. That's where children who have special needs are served and loved and prayed for and cared for in this church. Michelle and I know what that was like. And when we would come to church, what do you do? And parents with special needs children, and we have limited resources, and so we have a whole process to do our best to serve families with special needs. And they can come here and their child is cared for. People like Ben, who have a background, are serving in that room. There are people in the medical field who serve in that room because they want to care for and bless and lift these precious kids with endless possibilities as we trust God with mom and dad. And then mom and dad can come in here. Tell you something about moms and dads with special needs kids. Their marriages are at risk. I'm telling you that the divorce rate is like 60, 70%. The stress and the pain. And we can alleviate that for people. We can help fight the battle with them. We can help support them. We can help love with them and lift with them. And people who are doing that in this church are making a difference. There aren't words for this. If you could just hear what moms and dads are saying, thank you. You don't know what it's done to our life. And guys, you're making a difference. And I want to, I plead with you as Paul did on Christ's behalf. Get out of the stands and get involved. Go through the growth track. When we start the small groups, get involved in one. Get busy doing something great for God. Because the parts are lesser than the whole. And when we come together as the body of Christ, members in particular, we will experience the full power of God that rested upon Jesus when he walked this earth. And guys, I'm telling you, what you're going to see in the coming days ahead isn't about growth track, isn't about a building. I'm telling you, what you're going to see are not 100 here, 100 there, thousands and thousands and thousands of people who are now hellbound, heavenbound. We are going to plunder hell and populate heaven. We're going to see churches in the region have their line of sight lifted. Pastors who are tired of waiting for God to maybe do something that now believe God can do it here. As I like to say to these pastors, I said, look, we're going to drag that Bible belt so far north, we're going to get the south a wedgie. And I don't mean some weird kind of culture. I mean making a difference in everyday life where it becomes relevant what you do in your everyday life as your salt and light to the world in which you live. It's going to come to pass. And it's going to come to pass in boldness. And we are going to be a church of people who grow in God, who know God, are filled with the Spirit of God, live for God in everyday life, connected to one another, and then serving one another in such a way that we are going to experience something that, guys, I'm telling you, will be historic in the Northeast. And I feel so honored to get to be a part of it. And we are going to see something together that will be, I'll tell you, I wish I had words. I don't. But you will see it and it will come to pass. And it won't happen because of some pastor preaching. It's going to happen because of a dream team of people. Out there in the cafe areas, you'll see people with dream team shirts. And that's the last way you can actually sign up. They're out there waiting for you. And they'll answer your questions and they'll jot it down. So guys, we're doing every way we can to help you get into the first one, okay? So let's just go for it together as a church family. And let's go get our world for Christ. Amen? Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for your grace, your mercy, your kindness that's upon every life. You are faithful to 10,000 generations. And nothing, absolutely nothing, is impossible with you. So, Father, I ask you to lift people, no matter how they may have come into this place, no matter how they may have walked into this room, I ask you to lift them, no matter what they may be struggling with, no matter what sins may have captured their soul or their life. Help them to see that you're for them and not against them, that you love them with an everlasting love, and that nothing is impossible with you, and you will never leave them, and you will never forsake them. If they'll just simply yield to you. For those, Lord, who want to come out of the stands, I pray they feel encouraged and see the light of honoring you in this regard in their life. And Lord, for those who may not know you today, as heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Look, if you're here today and you don't know Christ as the Lord of your life, listen to me. I'm not asking you if you're religious. Give that a break. I'm not asking you if you've been to church. Look, I'm a pastor. I love church. But going to church will not make you right with God. No church can make you a Christian. Well, I was baptized as a baby, or I was confirmed, or all of those things are wonderful and good, but no sacrament of any church, including this one, can make you right with God. No church membership, no pastor, no priest, no imam, no anybody of any, no man, no organization can make you right with God. Jesus died on that cross. And what will you do with him is the question that will determine where you spend eternity. Jesus said there is a heaven, and Jesus said there is a hell, and he made a very narrow, politically incorrect statement when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Because Jesus didn't come to deliver sermons. He came to deliver people. And he paid the debt that you and I could never pay for our own sin. And you can't ever work your way out of it. You've got to receive the free gift of eternal life by the grace of God, by accepting Christ as your own Savior and Lord. And right now, that is at your decision and not his. What will you do with Jesus? Say, I'm not into religion. Good, me either, and neither is God. He's into life. And he wants you to live your life for him. And he wants to have his life pass through you. And he wants your sin debt to vanish and to make you right with him because of a price that was paid by a Savior that loved you and loves you today. For he ever lives. If you believe today Jesus is the Son of God, he died on that cross for your sins, buried and rose from the dead, and you want to receive him as the Lord of your life, I want to pray for you right where you're seated. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I'll pray for you. In a moment, I'll ask you to raise your hand, and then right where you're seated, I'll pray for you, and the whole church will pray the prayer with you out loud together right where you're seated. So if you're here today and you'd say, Pastor John, please include me in that prayer. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Would you just simply raise your hand right now and I'll pray for you? Thank you. God bless you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. You can put your hands back down. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You've not yet raised your hand. Say, Pastor, please include me with those many people that did, and I'll pray for you as well. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Just simply raise your hand right where you're seated, and I'll pray for you as well. And you've not yet done it. Thank you so much, sir. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. You can put your hands back down. Thank you. If you raised your hand, or you should have, pray this out loud where you hear it. Christ will come into your heart. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Pray it where you hear it. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. And I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross to bear my sin debt. I open the door of my heart and life. And Jesus, I receive you now to be my Savior and to be my Lord. Thank you for coming. I am now a child of God. My sin is washed away. I am now heaven bound. And I boldly confess that Jesus is the Lord of my life. Amen. Would you give them a hand, please?
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray you were blessed by God's Word. For additional teachings, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.